we did decide to have a kid during COVID.
Hello, and welcome to Planantia's podcast, Future Rich. My name is Barbara Ginty, and I'm your host and also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I'm very excited to be doing a follow-up episode today with our guest, Minnie. Hi, Minnie.
Hello.
So you were, your original episode aired, gosh, let's see, back September 4th in 2020, episode 93, when we were in the thick of the pandemic. And so you have an update or some updates. So why don't you give our listeners kind of a summary of where you were when we talked last and where you are today?
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. So yeah, the title of the episode was, Should We Have a Kid During COVID? And I listened back and it was fun, like, oh yeah, that, we were still trying to decide what to do. And I'm really thankful we talked then, because we did decide to have a kid during COVID. And the things we talked about in your advice is super helpful. So yeah, I'm married. I live in Minnesota. Both my husband and I both work full-time jobs. I know we went through a lot of the details in our first episode, and we were kind of looking at, and we have one child already. She's four now. So we're kind of looking at, do we want to expand our family, and it's COVID, and what do we do? Not just health-wise and those things, but even financial health-wise. So I know last time we talked about some great ideas about kind of giving yourself the financial buffer, especially with all the unknowns, not just with COVID, but especially with COVID and other stuff. So, yeah, I remember during that episode, you said, you know, you probably could save another $20,000 in this next year. And that was 9 months ago. And we beat that.
We did? Oh my God, that's amazing. How much did you save?
I think we're probably, in terms of cash, I think we're at another 21,000, I think, is where we're at right now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And so I think it was helpful. And what's funny, you know, with obviously things loosening up a little bit, we've done some things that, you know, we weren't doing last year. My husband did travel to see his family because they were all vaccinated. He was vaccinated. And so we haven't been like totally buckled down, save every penny. I feel like we've still been kind of living life as it is doable under the current circumstances and trying to enjoy things. We're going to go to on a little mini vacation, little last hurrah as a family of three this weekend.
Oh, that's fun. Where are you going?
Just locally, like only like a couple hours away at a little vacation rental cabin on a lake. So, yeah. So I think I didn't feel like, you know, I think that we definitely are always cautious about our money and our budget and things, but I didn't feel like...
Sometimes I feel like, maybe more my sister tells me this, Natasha, but she's like, people have to live their lives too, Barb. And I'm like, no, but I really want to make sure they all retire.
Yes. And we did, you know, I think we talked about in the first episode, you know, we've been saving pretty aggressively for retirement, you know, putting 15 to 20% away. And we've continued to do those things. So it hasn't, you know, we haven't kind of sacrificed those other goals in this effort. But yeah, I was kind of surprised that when I did the math, I was like, oh, we actually have met that kind of target without kind of nickel and diming. Granted, sometimes that you need to nickel and dime. Don't get me wrong. A budget is important. But yeah, and I think it's for us now, other kind of updates since then. So we are due with another kiddo this in July. So won't
so that
be too
is
far. Yeah.
So
it won't be too
soon.
Far.
That is so soon.
Yep. Especially for anyone who's been pregnant the last like month or two, you definitely start to realize like, oh, this baby will be here soon. But yeah, so we
isn't the second baby more likely to come early, or is that not true?
I don't know. I think it, like statistically, I don't think there's actually much. I don't think that's actually true statistically. I think there are certain indicators, but I know some people who've like, oh, my first baby was super late and the second one was late too, or vice versa. So I don't know. I'm not a betting person at all, but if I was, I think I probably would bet on being late just because it's summertime. Like, I feel like when it's hot out, pregnant women usually, I feel like, I don't want to say suffer, but you kind of end up dealing with longer pregnancy.
It seems uncomfortable. And so for our listeners, you were basically like 30 days away.
Yeah, about 6 weeks based on, yeah. Yeah. Well, although, yeah, if baby came early, yeah, potentially or less. So, yeah, sometime in July. So 6 to 8 weeks out, maybe.
So very soon. Okay, so basically we had talked, we weren't sure if you're going to have another kid. So definitely having another kiddo's coming.
Yep. And we did find a daycare spot. Okay. We're still, yeah, so that was one of the other kind of concerns that we had. And we're still kind of trying to figure out. It was funny because with COVID, I've been teleworking and we found a spot really close to my office. But then it's like, oh, when I go back to work, am I going to be at the office?
Yeah, right versus so. Working from home.
Yeah. So it's, we're still figuring some of those things out, but, and then also I listened back and we talked about kind of some of the challenges with COVID, and we did end up having some daycare closures from COVID this last year. So thankfully, hopefully by the time this second kiddo will be in daycare, hopefully most kiddos even will be vaccinated. But yeah, I was thankful that, well, number one, we were very, very fortunate that I work for an employer that had COVID leave and those kind of options. We thankfully never got sick, but we did lose care a couple of times. So hopefully less of that in the future.
Oh my gosh, hopefully never another pandemic. This is insane.
Yeah, I'd be on board. I'd vote for that one.
No more pandemics.
I think most people would. And I think a couple other things that have been kind of, in addition to what, you know, we talked kind of saving more, having more buffer, you know, going from, I think we had about 38,000 in cash, not counting our CD and stuff, last go around, and we're almost at 60,000. So I think it's about almost 22,000, that we saved.
Yeah.
But we also bought a car, although we didn't, originally we thought we would use some of that money to buy a new vehicle. And we did decide in the early part of this year to get a new vehicle. But we had planned on getting, we knew kind of what we wanted, and they had a 0% financing, which we don't like financing anything. But it was one of those things that's like, you know, even our paltry like interest rate in the bank is more than, you know, 0%.
Hard to turn down.
Yeah. And it was one of those times. So we did get a different vehicle, but we didn't. Yeah. So we have a nice monthly payment, which of course just, you know, we have the money in the bank for, we could have bought the car outright. but yes, yeah, so we did make that change. So we feel like we checked that box. So we have a vehicle that can at least in theory fit us all.
Right, yeah, I was just saying with the change in the family dynamic, right? You want to make sure everyone can get through.
Yeah.
So you finally invested your HSA dollars.
Yep, we finally invested our HSA. So that was, you know, it was just one of those things that, and it was funny, I finally did it and my husband was like, well, is it really that big of a deal? And I explained, he goes, oh, why didn't we do this a long time ago? I was like, I know, I thought the same thing. So, well, we can only change from today forward, right?
Yes, correct. Better to figure it out now than to figure it out like in 30 years.
Yes, yeah, especially when it comes to investment.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And then how are the retirement savings accounts doing?
Good. Yeah, I should have looked up all kind of where our balances are at. But in general, we've continued to kind of stay on track with our like I said, 15, I think we're both contributing 15% to our current 401k or 457 plans. And then also I put in for our pension too, working for the state. So we're both still, and they kind of stay on track with that. We haven't increased it just because we did want to have cash. Yeah. Cash available with this next kind of stage with the new kid. And then actually my husband got a really great surprise. I did get my annual adjustment. So my wages have gone up a bit with my step increase. But then my husband also, we don't know who it was. There's somebody out there that we have to thank. But his employer was looking for to kind of hire another person that does his same job. And the person they were recruiting said, I'd love to come work for you. They lived in a different part of our state, but your wages just don't compete. And so they did like a market adjustment or whatever they call it, where they look at like, what is the average salary for this kind of job? And I don't know if that person will ever come work for his agency, but they said, yeah, actually, it isn't keeping up. And so they like changed the salary for his position. So he got like I think it was like a 7% increase.
Wow.
It was pretty substantial. Plus he had just gotten a COLA. So it was something like almost like 10% increase in his salary, which is great, especially after last year when he was partially furloughed, and then obviously adding another kiddo to the family. It was like, well, that was nice. A nice little timing. So yeah, so for both of us, we realized we probably need to look at our taxes and stuff again this next go around. Still on track for the public service loan forgiveness program. And so I'm assuming we probably will keep filing separately, but we've realized that both of us, as we've kind of continued in our careers and some of these increases, it's like, oh, we would be, this is definitely going to impact our tax rate at some point.
Yeah. And especially for him with that 10% adjustment, it might make sense, depending on where he's falling tax wise, to maybe bump up the retirement a couple percent to lower the taxable income, just because it is a dollar for dollar reduction with the pre-tax contribution. So that might be worth looking at too, depending on where he's falling.
Yeah, and we have both been doing kind of half and half pre-tax, post-tax, but that's something that I had been thinking about too. Yeah, is those marginal tax rates, what that looks like. That's a good point.
Yeah. So yeah, and then I would leave the post-tax alone, but maybe bump up the pre just to see, because it's all about what you're netting in the check. So if that bumped them into another bracket, and then it'll probably affect the student loan payment because it's income-based.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe look at that pre-tax contribution amount and see if you can play with that to make it more advantageous.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll definitely look at that. And we kept our CPA. another thing I think we talked about last time was the wonderful value of a tax professional.
They're so important. I was recording another podcast today with an attorney who specializes in elder care. And it's so important to have those professionals who this is all they do day in and day out and can really help make sure you're on the right track in those different areas. Because if you're doing it only one time, or with taxes, you do it every year, but your life changes, tax law changes, but I think they're worth their weight in gold to help prevent mistakes and problems.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's one of those things, I think, as life gets more complicated, and even just during COVID and all the different with the stimulus and different kinds of things, there's just been so many more. Even the tax professionals have to kind of work hard to keep up with what's going on. So what are the chances that like the average person's going to be able to fully understand or fully, take advantage of what the current situation is?
Oh my gosh, totally. Unless you like love reading that stuff at night after your day.
I can't say that's me.
I understand taxes, obviously, but I understand it in relation to mainly investments and planning. I'm not a tax, I don't do tax filings. I rely on a CPA for tax filings because it's not my day job. I'm not in it all day, so I'm not going to be the best at it. But you bring up also another really good point, which this will be past tense, but you will probably have it all online. We are doing a webinar. I'm doing a webinar in a week. And one of the things we're going to talk about is how important it is to advocate for salary negotiations. And that was really interesting that the person they were interviewing caused for the raise for your husband. Right.
And who would have thought, and since I work in state government, once you kind of are in the system, you don't have much wiggle room. And so I did negotiate originally when I first was hired, and I'm very thankful I did, and it definitely paid off because I did get a salary bump coming to work in my current position. So it's one of those things that, I don't know how you would get that to happen, like for you know, for the average person, how someone else, but I'm sure that even that could be something that maybe some organizations would let you request, I suppose. I don't know.
That's interesting that they were like, this position's like underpaid, and then they researched it and they were like, oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, and he works for a pretty large organization that's kind of a regional entity, so I think probably they probably realize, like,
we're not competitive.
Yeah, and I suppose also for him, and I also don't know, you know, it's one of those things too, depending on where you are. You know, he's not a union employee, he's an, you know, he's a provider, so I think it's probably, they maybe realize for retention and things, they have to do some of those things, but... but yeah, it's one of those things I think people tend to forget, or especially women. I think the research shows we are not both, we're less likely to ask for more. and then also, unfortunately, I think we tend to be less successful when we do ask. So I know I've definitely looked before, because I've worked in roles where I have had the opportunity to kind of ask for a wage increase or things. And but yeah, it's one of those things that I think, especially for women in a career, it's really important to think about and see what opportunities there are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've never gone from the, I guess, perspective of looking at it, you know, where the wages should be overall, and then bringing it to the attention of somebody. And interestingly enough, it was a person just getting hired, which I think is interesting. But I think that's a great learning lesson, right? That's something, because the worst thing is they say, we appreciate you bringing us the data, but we're not making a change.
Well, yeah. And it was interesting, because at least this organization has a process that they do go through, because the person that was being kind of recruited said, like, you don't pay enough. But then I don't think they didn't do the research. The organization actually did the research and then said, you're right. And I'm sure, you know, it's also interesting, I'm sure, and this is true probably in many parts of the country right now, but housing costs are going, you know, kind of crazy. Yes. And there's lots of different, I mean, we chuckle because we bought our house, you know, almost over 2.5 years ago. And we thought, oh, we kind of paid top dollar. And now it's like, or we didn't.
Or we got a deal.
Or it was actually decent. I mean, we'll see what happens in the coming years. I mean, it's always the kind of the question. And we love our house and we live in it, so it works either way. But yeah, it's it is interesting. I think some of those things, it's kind of like a lot of things, I think we kind of set it and forget it, you know, like you get your paycheck every month or every 2 weeks or whatever, and or you pay your phone bill or those things. And I think sometimes it's like, yeah, you can't make it to, like, for me, it's like, unless I switch jobs or something, I don't really have a whole lot of leeway in my, because I have,
yeah.
But for some positions, that just, you do have some opportunity. And especially, I think, right now, when there's kind of really a big push, when there's a lot of people, they're looking for people. I think a lot of, it depends on your industry, of course, but I think a lot of firms are looking for people right now in recruiting, and then they're also thinking about retention too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really interesting perspective to look at it. Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. And then how are you feeling financially with the approach of the new kiddo? Are you feeling positive about everything, comfortable with everything?
Yeah, I think overall we are. I think that, kind of like we talked about last time, just having that kind of extra buffer. So not only for just, you know, taking some unpaid leave and kind of those realities and covering health insurance and stuff, but then, well, then also hopefully the legislature does their job in a week. But currently Minnesota is the only split legislature in the whole country, where the House and Senate, one is Democrat, has majority Democrat, one's majority Republican, and they haven't passed a budget bill, which if they don't, but by July 1st, our state shuts down. Oh, and so I will be on unpaid leave. And so when I first was thinking, like, oh man, this is like the worst, I thought, well, you know what, if we don't get a paycheck, like, I mean, this is not ideal situation, but we'll be okay.
Yes, you have saved up all that cash.
Yes. Yep. And also at the same time, we've been on the positive, and I think they'll get the job done. I think they'll do. And it's, I think, about a week for they have their special session, but maybe by the time this is out there, this will all be done.
Over.
And I hope, you know, and I recognize, like, we're fortunate that not having that paycheck will be fine, we'll get through. But I also have colleagues that that'll be really tough too. Not to mention people who live in the state of Minnesota not getting the services they need on a day-to-day basis. But on the positive side too, I think the other really nice part, not only do we feel kind of more ready for this kiddo to join us, but also we were able to start to plan a trip to visit my husband's family for a chunk of time next winter. So we found a rental, so we're going to spend a month in Arizona, and it's a financial commitment for sure. To rent a house down there for a month, but because we had planned for hoping to do some of these things, it's the money's there. It's not like, oh, how are we gonna afford this? It's like, that's money. This is a priority we have, and we have the funds to do it.
That's really exciting. I feel like that's for our listeners, it took a lot of hard work to get to where you are and being diligent. But I feel like once you make those sacrifices and you get to this point where everything's very comfortable financially, it's a nice place to be.
Yeah, and I think it just enables you. I think, and it's still, it's like the slippery slope that if we're not careful, I think recently we had a few things that we had subscribed to that we were like, do we really need that? I think it's still good to kind of pay attention. And I think there's that lifestyle creep
inflation. Creep is real and it happens to the best of us.
Yes. And I think that for us, knowing that we've got something larger that we're kind of working towards, and of course, like long-term retirement and those things too, but even like this trip, like we recognized, because I'll be on leave, we have an opportunity to do something we wouldn't typically, and so it makes it a little bit easier to be like, oh, I think we can cancel that.
Right,
we'd rather spend that money on Arizona. Yeah, a day excursion when we're down and visiting family or whatever it is. So yeah, and I think, and it also enabled us where we felt like we looked at a bunch of different options, and we ended up finding a rental within a 5-minute walk of my in-laws, and it has like a heated outdoor pool, which our daughter loves the water, and it was a little bit more than we originally were thinking we'd want to spend, but it was like, okay, let's think about this. What do we really care about, and what's going to make a great trip for us? And so we felt good about making, kind of pulling the trigger and making that choice, because we, number one, had the money there, but also it's like we want to get the most out of our time.
That sounds incredible. And then you don't have to drive to visit, and you can be.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds very lovely.
Yeah. And it's, of course, we'll be going in like December, which Minnesota is not necessarily the time people come to Minnesota.
That's not the most touristy time.
We'll have to make sure our sidewalk gets snowblown while we're gone, but.
The joys of property ownership.
yeah, and then also the other challenge was for all you pet owners out there, you know how it is for they're part of the family too, but it was that was a hard thing too, realizing that it really didn't make sense to bring our dog. So thankfully, between family and someone I know that does kind of pet sitting in her home, I think we'll have her covered really well without having to board her. But our 70 pound fur baby. So, and same thing, it's like, we feel it'll cost a little bit more to get her in a better position, a better spot while we're gone, but we also feel good about that, making sure she's taken care of too.
That's awesome. Well, Minnie, I'm so happy to hear everything's going so well.
Yeah, and there are still some things I think, like, I know last time we talked a bit about 529 accounts and the credit card point game, and some things that I still feel like are on my list of to come in the future. But I think that I think it's like I'm very thankful we talked when we did, because I think you helped get us on track. Where this is, anytime you have a baby, it's a lot. And even if it's not your first kid, I think there's a lot to prepare for and do. But we haven't had that as much of a stress about the financial part of it because of the good advice you gave last year.
Well, it makes me very happy.
Yeah, and we'll have to, and hopefully by next winter when we're sitting outside in the nice, well, and to us, it'll be warm. To Arizonans, like 60s is like freezing.
You'll be like in your bathing suit and Arizona people will be in like pants and a jacket. Yes. That's so cold.
They'll be wearing like winter clothes and we'll be like, oh, it's so hot.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Which I think is the funny, it's like the funny part too, whenever we have spent time, we spent, before COVID, we'd go at least every winter for a week or two. And like half the time, we'd be like, oh, where are you from? And they'd be like, oh, well, we live here now, but we're originally from Chicago, or we're from New York, or wherever. And so there's a lot of folks who I think they've saved their pennies, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, they have to like have a nice retirement and get out of, I mean, I went to the cold weather with Utah here, but it is a much more pleasant cold, in my opinion, than the upstate or New York City cold winter.
Yeah. Well, and access to, and that's one of the cool parts too, about Arizona, just the access to recreation. That's how it is here in Minnesota too, that at least in the winter we can get out and enjoy the snow instead of just suffer through it.
Well, we'll have to stay in touch about the 529s for the kiddos. But do you have any other questions for me?
I think that probably does it for us today. Yeah, I really appreciate both the original chance to come on the pod and then getting to do a follow-up with you. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope it helps some other folks, you know, think about. And I know everyone's position's different. I think that it's easy to, I recognize how fortunate we are. I think when we talked last time, we talked about how when we first finished grad school, my husband made like $23,000 a year. You know, it was... Times were lean, but I think, and I know that everyone has kind of different circumstance, but I think that, you know, there's some real opportunity and just having that forethought and kind of thinking about what you really want to be spending your time and your money on. And it really does open up more opportunities for having a kind of lifestyle you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that from every podcast, you can always pull a little bit of information that hopefully is applicable to your own life.
Yeah, even I've enjoyed your more recent ones about the FIRE movement, which I'm not a FIRE movement person, but I appreciate it. I think there's always things that we can glean from other people's experiences or kind of what their goals are. So yeah, it's fun. I won't be joining them. I think I'll probably be.
It's definitely not for everybody. I was actually thinking about that the other day that. Some people, it's like not interesting to them at all. They're like happy with their career and happy to, you know, their plan is to work until they're 60, 65 or what have you. And that's their goal and that's what they want. And yes, it's really interesting because everyone's path and, you know, projected future path is different.
And I think that now at least think recognizing that's okay. You know, I think that kind of finding that balance and also just like financial stability and security, I think looks so different for each of us, right?
Oh, yeah.
And figuring out what that looks like for us and then making it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Minnie, it was great to have you back on. I'm super excited you're having another kiddo. We wish you well, and thank you for doing the follow-up episode. For all of our lovely listeners, you can find our most up-to-date information on Instagram. You can follow us. We are Future Rich Podcast, and you can check us out online at www.futurerichpodcast.com.